So why did we put out this conference? Early this year, I had a strange encounter. I was studying my Bible. Then I just moved into Abuja. I was studying my Bible. And all of a sudden, the environment changed. I knew that the presence of the Lord, that's the presence of Jesus, was there. And so I closed my eyes and began to pray. And I heard these words. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He said it again. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And the presence lightened off. So, immediately, I went into fasting and prayer. What did it really mean by feed my sheep? What's it trying to say? Are you with me? The Bible says in 1 John, it says in verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So what really happens is that when God does something in a man, God wants it to spread. So he will coagulate his expression in one place. And from the emphasis he has done in one man, he will come to spread it to a generation. Are you with me? And so I began to pray. What is the Lord up to? And then that title refreshing came. And so this evening, I'm going to show us the emphasis of this conference. Praise the Lord. And so, the emphasis of refreshing. What do we really mean by refreshing? First of all, before you get the emphasis of refreshing, you need to get the emphasis of Christ Life Conference. Why is our first quarter conference called the Christ Life Conference? Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above where Christ seated at the right hand of God. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Glory! Then it says in verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Can we read this verse very well and rejoice? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, every time I read this verse is very intriguing. This verse is a game changer verse to our doctrine completely. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's telling us something else. Most times people think when the Lord comes, we will be somewhere begging him to join him. He's saying that the Lord's appearance is your appearance. The Lord's appearance is my appearance. And it makes sense because he says, when Christ, who is our life, that means God wants your life to reveal the life of Christ. Are you with me? Now, see the question I've been asking people and asking myself, and I want to ask you. How many of you have been hearing Jesus is coming soon? Jesus is coming soon, Abby. In all the coming soon, if Jesus comes now, what will you tell him? What will you say that your life looks like? The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life? If Christ is your life, that means your life ought to be very different too. Imagine Christ was the one in Uniport. Imagine Jesus was a student of Uniport. How will he look like? That's what we're talking about here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That means God wants the believer to be an expression of the life of Christ. Everything that Christ would have done, God wants your life to reveal it. That means you already, as a Christian, you have been sentenced not to live an ordinary life. Are you with me? Say after me, I will not live an ordinary life. The burden of Christ Life Conference is to train believers on experiencing the life of Christ. See, how can the Bible be saying things about, oh, believers will be this, believers will be that, believers are this, believers are that. And yet, when you look at your life and look at what the Bible says about believers, there is such a great disparity. It ought not to be. Tell your neighbor, it ought not to be. It ought not to be. For instance, I was doing evangelism one day in Abuja, and I was ministering to this boy and girl. And they said, how did they even say it? They said, they agree with what I'm saying, but they have some questions to ask me. Now, what do I think about speaking in tongues? I said, every believer ought to speak in tongues. And they were like, no, you speak in tongues only when you are really, really, really shaking. and it's not for everybody. I said, wait, what did Jesus teach about it? The Bible says in Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Did you hear what I just said? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they speak with new tongues. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus said, how will you know the believers? How will you know those that believe? In my name they cast out devils. That means if you are not casting out devils, there are either two conclusions. It's either you do not believe in Jesus, or you believe and there is something wrong with your believing process. I'm telling you. This is not even special gift of the Spirit. And I agree with Jesus, because if you study the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and chapter 12 to chapter 14, there is no special gift called the gift of casting out devils. You can go and read it. Read all the gifts of the Spirit we see in 1 Corinthians 14. There is no special gift called the gift of casting out devils. It's for every believer. So now, why are believers not working in it? That's why we have Christ Life Conference. Are you with me? The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means all the sons of God should be led by the Spirit of God, right? All children of God should be led by the Spirit of God. So if children of God are not being led by the Spirit of God, then there's a problem. Why are they not expressing the life of Christ? That's the question we came to answer. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I refuse to live an ordinary life. I refuse to live an ordinary life. Glory! So, back to refreshing. After that encounter and prayer, I entered the scripture. And so, there are three major things refreshing refers to. Number one, refreshing refers to new times and seasons in God. Acts chapter 3. That's the place to shout glory. Glory! It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So we see that refreshing is not just a statement. It's a definition of a time. Are you with me? Refreshing refers to a time. And let me tell you, every one of you know what I'm talking about. Have you been in some situations where you just got into a new season and it's as though prayer is very interesting? You got into a new season and you just felt like worshiping and praying more. And it felt like your walk with God was on fire. And after like 2 months, you want to pray in the night. After 5 minutes of prayer, you're like, have I prayed for 50 minutes? What is this? And so, God usually sends out times of refreshing from His presence. It's an ushering into a new season. And usually, in between different times of refreshing is what you call transition. So what He's telling you now is this. He says, you can reread this verse like this. Prepare, because times of refreshing are coming. Prepare. And so many people in their walk with God, they don't know how to prepare for times of refreshing. And when times of refreshing come, they don't know how to handle it. And when it seems like it's shifting, they don't know what to do afterwards. Are you with me? And so they have, sometimes they are up, sometimes they are down. Sometimes they are like, the kingdom, the kingdom. After a while, it is the movies. After a while, they are carried away. After a while, it's as if there's a shift again. Can I go for that? Can I go a little deeper about this? Usually, God even uses songs to announce new seasons. Hey, I can tell you in Nigeria, I can give you songs that marked new seasons. Who remembers when Sinatra released that song? You made my life so beautiful. Hey, do you remember? That was an ushering to a new, that thing reigned. That was a new move of God among the young people. And it kept on like that. After a while, it's as though everyone was silent. Then, oh Lord, set my heart on fire. for you. Can you remember what I'm saying? Can you connect what I'm saying now?
Hey.
And that song lasted. Oh. And you will discover that even worldly people will be praying with the song. Everybody will be crying as though, God, you must use me now. Praise the Lord. After a while, I'm a soldier at the battlefield. Hey, Jesus. Some people are singing the song, but they don't understand the times. Am I talking to you? Let me tell you, if you are going to be anything solid in God, you must know how to transition between times. And so he's saying, prepare that something will happen to you when these times come from God's presence. And see, when times of refreshing comes, it's not even just about your spiritual life being refreshed. Every area of your life will change. Oh, I'm telling you. I said every area of your life will change. In a time of refreshing, there are more open doors. There are more favors. I'm telling you, lost dreams are being brought back. In times of refreshing, there is restoration. I'm trying to prepare you for this year. Let me tell you, we're about to enter this year. 2024, there will be what I call, this 2024, bipolar events. So, in this 2024, there will be famine, plenty. But guess what? There will be plenty prosperity too. In this 2024, there will be plenty going down, but there will be plenty increase. I can tell you prophetically, 2024 resembles 2020 a little bit. Where there was so much shaking, And at the end of the year, some people came up far bigger than what they began with. Some became smaller. Oh, God does it usually. Usually, he shakes the heavens and the earth. You know, when you put garri inside a gallon and you want to balance it, you will shake. So sometimes, in the spirit realm, there is a shaking. And that's why we're having conference like this, to prepare you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, in many people's work with God, every time God is calling them, and they'll do like they're answering, they'll run away. Many people, they are too docile to respond to God. I would have gone further, but Lord, the Lord wants me to press on this. They are too docile. So every time in their work with God, they are always having highs and lows. Every refreshing, God gets their attention. They will start praying. They will start following the Lord. Sometimes God will bring them to a vibrant church. And they will start. Halfway, they will get distracted. Always distracted. And after like 5 months or 1 year, they will just say, why is my life like this? You know what? I want to take God serious. That time they are saying, I want to take God serious. It may be another time of refreshing. You know? It will stir them up again. They will start again. After a while, distraction will come. Boyfriend, girlfriend will carry them. I go, love. Then they break their heart. Bam. They will now go and cry to God. That will be God's opportunity for revival. They will start again. And after 10 years, they have gone around in cycles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All the dealings they ought to have received to mature. Let me tell you, I know what I'm saying. When I got born again, there are people that got born again with me. We got born again at the same time. We began our spiritual lives at the same time. Right now, I'm the one. See, there's nothing wrong with me discipling them. But the way they are now, there were people I was preaching with in secondary school, as far back as 2006, 2007. Sometimes when they look at me, they're like, since that time till now, they say, see how far you've gone. In my mind, I'm like, what do you mean far? We are just starting. So when we go far, what will you say? Praise the Lord. Sometimes the distraction is that they love the world too much. So they are struggling with a habit. Then they encounter God so strong. And for 1 week, they forget that they were struggling with a habit. They were so enjoying God's presence and they forget that they were struggling with masturbation or pornography. After a while, they now want the sweetness of that evil. Are you hear what I'm saying? So, the problem is not that they don't love righteousness. They love righteousness, but they have not hated iniquity. Are you following me? So they say, I want to follow God. And then, they now remember the love of, the pleasure of the iniquity and they go back. And Satan does not take 2 chances. That one, he will hold you and drag you back. Am I talking to you? So how do you take advantage of the times of refreshing? You prepare. You prepare. You prepare by spiritual sensitivity. You prepare in prayers. You prepare by learning to be led by the Spirit of God. Some of you right now, you know what I'm talking about. God has been stirring you up to read the Bible more. It's as though there is this hunger to be fed spiritually. It's just rising within you. It's a time of refreshing. Look at Samuel. Samuel was in the temple, a small boy in the temple. So many things were happening in the political sphere of the nation. And the temple, and he did not consign Samuel. But he was just there serving as a temple boy. And the Spirit of God came and said, Samuel, maybe you are here and God is calling you, Janet. God is calling you, Jennifer. God is calling you. God is calling you. It's time to take it serious. Because the time you have now, you may not always have it. See, after me, times of refreshing. And let me tell you, another thing you will know in terms of refreshing, the distractions are plenty too. Hi, Jesus. That's why many times I love singing. Many of you know I love singing, right? You know, I produce quite a number of songs and I'll produce more, amen? But I love teaching more. Because let me tell you, Jesus. Discipleship is what establishes people. Without discipleship, after all the cry, after all the revival program, JUC single, they cry. All the people will cry finish, you go still see them for club. I am desperate for you, oh. After what I saw, that, I said, after all the desperate, now here you there. Who is, am I talking to you? Hey, okay, you people are angry with me. If you are not angry, shout glory. See, the refreshing is supposed to carry you into something else. It's supposed to carry you deeper in God. So times of refreshing refers to new seasons. And like I said, it's not just new seasons in your work with God. The overflow of the work of the new seasons in your work with God will flow to every area of your life. Remember the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that out of Eden came out a river, and the river was parted into four heads. And one went into the land of Havilah. One went into the land of Ethiopia. One went into the land of Hiddekel. And it was all like that. In the same way, God wants your heart to be the garden. The river of God from your heart should overflow and begin to enter every area of your life. Enter your finances. Enter your marriage. Enter your business. Enter your career. Are you with me? Let me tell you, when the river is flowing out, there are some things you will not pray for. I'm telling you. Young people, listen to me. I've heard people say, Pastor, I need help. Pastor, let me tell you, when the river is flowing out, Jesus, a time will come. It will be obvious that the hand of God is upon your life. Many of you here know my personal story. I finished from secondary school, and there was no way for me to, I don't know what I'm talking to, but this is for somebody. For 1 year, I could not go to any university. I was stranded, yes. And when I met my mother, and I said, hey, go and find Polytechnic and go. Maybe we'll go to Abraka. And there's nothing wrong with that. Are you with me? I was going to go there. But I noticed something. Anywhere I went to. So that 1 year, what was I doing? I was reading for a jam the day I would write it. And I was doing evangelism every day. Going from place to place to preach. Now, I'll go to some other places, not to preach, oh, maybe to just buy something and talk to people. And I discovered that there will be some uncanny, unexplainable pull within people to help me. I started asking myself, there is something about this thing. Initially, it started with church members. Church members would just walk up to me. I feel like giving you this money. I said, okay, thank you, man. I feel like giving you this cloth. So immediately, I used to think it was because I was a member of that church, and maybe I was a committed member in the church, I was a worker in the church. When I knew that, this one is serious, one day, I was passing a store. Just passing the store. A woman came out. Elderly woman came out and said, as you passed, I saw light beam out of you. I'm supposed to give you money. Hey, God. She went inside. Now, imagine 2008, what 3,000 was. Not now. Now, Sapa has done crazy things. She gave me 3,000, said, so, what do you do? I said, I'm a student. I plan to go to university. Say, when you want to go to university, come and meet me in my house. I and my husband will give you. I'm like, I don't know this one from anywhere. True. I was about to go to university. She called me, carried me to the husband's, inside their mansion, said, we'll give you this amount of money just to say, God bless you. It kept happening like that. One day, I had to pray about it. The Lord said, my oil is upon you. It's upon you. The Bible says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. What is on your head will determine what is in your cup. The most important thing in your life is to take your work with God serious. I'm telling you. Got into Covenant University. Met one man at the gate. He said, I'm a lecturer. I see you are an incoming. I will help you. Ha. Guess what? He was now a lecturer in my department. So my name is Engineer Maku Tokumbo. I'm supposed to help you. Like that. He said, why are your luggage? Put it in my car and drove. Like that. Tell your neighbor, take your walk with God serious. Now, the second thing about refreshing, it refers to re-emphasis on doctrinal conviction. Say after me, re-emphasis. James chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. See, please, I want to beg you. Don't laugh about what I want to say. Don't laugh. Say after me, we receive private jet. In Jesus' name. Ah. See, when God bless you, buy it. I'm sure you have seen me. I'm praying and holding my head. I found out that some of the things that we envy in some people, it's nothing to envy about. Say, that guy is just traveling. He entered flight. So, see. My coming from Abuja today, I have not been so stressed like I was in that. You know when you enter a plane, as they close the door, it was today I understood the kind of pressure in the sky. It was as if somebody was trying to break my head into two. The pain. I was saying, God, let this plane just land. Let this plane just land. Immediately they opened the door, I just felt like air came out of my ear. This way and this way. I said, God, I beg. God, I beg. Father, we give you praise. Amen. James chapter 1 from verse 18. Everybody, please read. I need your help. I need your voices, please. So James 1 verse 18. What does this verse mean? I want somebody to try. What does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? Begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. First of all, it means that the word of God gave birth to us. He used the word of God to give birth to us. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, for the born again Christian, the word of God produced you. Now, why did he do that? He's telling you something, that God used his word to produce you so that you will be a different kind of species. He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. So, this is what God wanted to do. God wanted to make creatures that have a specific, unique characteristics that carry his own type of character. So what will he do? He had to use the seed of his nature called his word. So if his word can produce a human being, that human being will have his character. Did you get what I just said? Oh, Jesus. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Say after me, I am in God's order. Because I believe in Jesus, the word of God gave birth to me. The word of God produced me. That means, on a basic level, God wants the nature of the word of God to be your nature. Anything the word of God can do, he wants it to be your own possibility. Are you with me? If the word of God is unstoppable, he wants you to be unstoppable. If the word of God has all the victory, he wants you to have all the victory. If the word of God can be is incorruptible, he wants you to be incorruptible. Are you following me? Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Say amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Jump to verse 21. Verse 21. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Glory. Because of time, we'll talk about this maybe tomorrow. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer. Now pause. He's going to explain to you why some people are not living in the reality of the word of God. Are you following me? I want to ask you, are you here and you want the word of God to be your reality? Raise your hand. You want the word of God to be your reality? Let me see your hand. Ah, Jesus. Put it down. That means you need to pay attention now. Are you with me? He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or beholding his natural face in a mirror, right? Now, see verse 24.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Hey, praise the Lord. He says, for he beholdeth himself. So everybody read with me verse 23 right now. 22 verse 24. 1 to 3 go. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man that beholds his natural face in a glass or in a mirror, right? Now, see verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Don't even rush it. Wait. He beholdeth himself. That means whenever you look at the word of God, it is yourself you are looking at. Ah, Jesus. Because remember, he told you in verse 18 that if you are born again, you were born of the word of truth. That means the nature of the word is your nature. Are you with me? So whenever you study the Bible, it is yourself you are seeing. Anything you see in the word of God, it's your example there. I told you some weeks ago that the Bible, the word of God does not reveal just an example for us, but an example of us. When you get born again, you have been born with the life of God. This is serious. So when you study the Bible, it says, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the problem, why many people don't walk in the reality of the word of God, first, number one, is forgetfulness. They forget. Ah, my God. Think about your life. You've been in so many powerful programs and powerful meetings. One month later, you've forgotten everything. So refreshing is to come back and reemphasize some things again. The rest of you are looking at me. Let us pray. Please, if you can pray in tongues, let us pray right now. Let's pray in the spirit. Make it louder. Make it louder. Reketetetetetetelia kapai. Esaraba deketeteketetelia. Rudegeseteketekete. Rudegeseketetepelegeseketelia. Alebroko peketeketetetetelia. Rundegeseketeperekelia. Jelebrende debelegededesa. Jelebrende gedededeberekete. Ala brada gadadesa kapalia. Lingo brobobobobo setelia. Rodegesetekelia kapai. Asabra de sombre ketetelia. Jelemende rebege de. Elia rababakasha katalia badadesa. In the name of Jesus. Say after me, my heart is open. My eyes are open. My heart is open. My eyes are open. In the name of Jesus. Glory. He says he forgets. Remember, you know, do you know what happens to people? When they are doing crossover nights, they will tell them, this is the year of the rain. By the time they enter the year, by March, they've forgotten the theme of the year. All the prophecies they told them, it may look like God did not even say anything. They don't know that if you are not keeping the word of God in your consciousness, it could not happen in your life. Hey, my God. If you don't hold on to it consciously and ensure you do not forget it. Ah, Jesus. You know, they say out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, right? For many people. Let me tell you, in the spirit is the same thing. If it is out of your sight, it will be out of your mind. And if it is out of your mind, it will be out of your heart. And if it's out of your heart, it will be out of your life. So the reason many people are not living in the reality of the word of God is because they don't stay on it long enough. They forget. Many times people will go to church, they will write sermon notes. They will write. And they will never open it again. Do you hear what I just said? They will never open it again. For the fact you wrote it once does not mean it has entered your heart too. For the fact you heard it once does not mean it has entered your heart. He says the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Not just the hearing, the entrance. This is why many believers, they will talk about in their work with God, they have dreams. One day, I will pray for the sick, they will recover. One day, I will flow in the supernatural. One day, I will live above sickness. one day. So, the discipline to stay with the word of God now, they will push it away because to their mind is in the future. One day. 2024 has met us. If you are not careful, 2030 will come. You will not have started working in these things. So you must start now. Tell your neighbor, start now. Praise the Lord. So refreshing is to re-emphasize. And now I get why. Now it was there it made sense what Jesus was telling me in January. Feed my sheep. Because let me tell you. See. Oh my God. I discovered recently. You know, those days, I used to ask, when God told us to start new breed initially, I was asking myself, what does God want us to do that other churches are already doing? Look at the number of churches in Port Harcourt. There are more churches than human beings. Every street, about 4 churches. So I'm like, God, let me be an engineer at once now. I didn't understand until now. I'm taking time to listen to what we call mainstream, what people call mainstream preaching. See, there is no food. Food is scarce. I'm telling you. Now, am I saying all churches are doing the wrong thing? No. Of course, there are many powerful and vibrant churches all over the country. Are you with me? But let me tell you, the ones that is there is scarcity of spiritual food are plenty. Oh, there are more plenty than the ones that are really feeding. Just go around. Take a census in Port Harcourt. Papa said, oh, Papa, see, go deeper, see for me. Now, do we see? Of course. I don't think there's any week that goes that we don't have visions about members of the church. Sometimes we see and pray without even contacting a person. I'm learning from experience. It's not everything you see about people you tell them. But I've come to discover, I now know why Jesus came and said, feed my sheep. People are dying spiritually. They are hungry and they don't even know what they need. Has your phone been so dead, that when you charge it for the first 1 hour, it was like if it was not charging? Have you had that experience before? Then after like 3 hours of charging, it just says, hey, I don't wake up. Then you just see the lights begin to blink. That's how some people are. Their spiritual life is so empty and dead. You need to be feeding them with the word of God and prayer. The day they will just wake up and say, where have I been since? They forget. They are not fed. That's why, Jesus. So this is why we are still with this question. When will believers live the Christian life? If they are not taught, if they are not fed, they will never live it. They will never know who they really are. Praise the Lord. Say to me, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. You know, let me tell you something. Even if I came for this conference and you were only 5, if you're only 5 people, I will teach the way I'm teaching, maybe even more serious. Did you hear what I said? Maybe I will teach even more seriously. I'm trusting God to start doing something. Gospel seminars. I will go to university. For 3 days, we'll announce. We are going to teach about who is Jesus. Are you with me? And teach it for 3 days. Then say, everybody, start asking questions. When they ask questions, we are done with questions. The next topic is the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Spirit, get everybody to speak in tongues. After speaking in tongues, I'll tell them, bring sick people now. Let's start healing them. When they bring sick people, we'll start casting out devils in their midst, in their presence. Because I want to see believers walk in this thing. Walk in the reality of this thing. To some level, I have touched small. If I tell you I've not touched, it's a lie. If I tell you I've not walked with God and touched some things, I'll be lying to you. I remember when it was about to start. I've shared that story here many times. A lady, if I call her name, some of you will know her. She told me, you want to start church? Do you have money? I said, I have God. He said, do you have money? She told me, you know what you do? Go and find rich people. Find many rich people. Make them your friends. When you make them your friend, tell them what you want to do. They will now start. I said, no, that's not how it works. I said, no, that's not how it works. No. No, that's not how Jesus did it. The Bible says, so mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. I said, when the word of God prevails, the resources will follow. That has been our story. It will forever be our story. Are you with me? It will forever be our story. Say amen. Amen. That's why, in fact, I like to feed many young people with water. I like to see them when they are naughty. Yes. I like to see them when it looks like nothing is happening. Oh yeah, let me be feeding you the word of God. Let the word of God grow in your spirit, man, till you can begin to make life-changing decisions. Life-changing steps. Praise the Lord. Say after me, in this conference, my convictions are re-engineered. I am refreshed. I am refreshed in the word of God. I am refreshed in the word of God. Glory! Let's go back to verse 24. James 1 verse 24. As we leave this point. He says, for he beholdeth himself. See, after me, when I look at the word of God, I want to hear me from this side. When I look at the word of God, I behold myself. When I look at the word of God, I behold myself. Glory. For he beholdeth himself and correct his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you realize that this phrase, what manner of man he was first used for Jesus? Remember the time he was on the boat and the winds and the waves were everywhere. And he was sleeping in the storm. The water was trying to overwhelm the ship and Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and met him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Why are you sleeping? How can be rain? The storms everywhere. Tornado everywhere and you are sleeping. What's wrong with you? Don't you care that we perish? Guess what Jesus did? He woke up and said, you are people of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. That's what he said. Oh, ye of little faith. How long shall I be with you? Then he looked at the wind and the wave and said, peace, be still. Then the disciples now said, what manner of man is this? Are you with me? That even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, that same phrase was used for you here. Now, when you look at the word, you behold what kind of manner of person you are, but the problem is that you forget. For him to use that phrase for you, he's telling you that the same way Jesus was a different kind of man, you are in that same order too. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray for you, your eyes of understanding are enlightened. They are enlightened in the name of Jesus. They are enlightened in the name of Jesus. They are enlightened in the name of Jesus. You receive revelation. You receive wisdom in the Lord. You receive revelation in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. I pray for you, your eyes are open to see. In this conference, your eyes are open to see. You will not live your life ordinarily. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. And finally, so we said the first thing, refreshing refers to times and seasons, right? Number two, refreshing refers to re-emphasis of doctrinal conviction. And number three, refreshing refers to the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 28 from verse 11. Let me start with verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. He's saying what he wants to say, but in the reverse. He's trying to say, those who are growing spiritually, you will know them by their understanding of doctrine. So, the statement, weaned from milk and drawn from the breast, is figurative of spiritual growth, of growth, right? When a baby is growing, you no longer be grabbing breast. Like my daughter, Princess Joy, she does not suck breast again. Now you can be eating your gari. She will just come, bah, collect it. She has grown. Praise the Lord. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So, the sign that you are growing spiritually is in your knowledge of the Bible, your knowledge of God, your doctrine. Are you with me? Then he goes further and explains how this will happen. Verse 10. Everybody read verse 10. 1, 2, 3, go. Are you with me? This is why I teach the way I do. Somebody said, Pastor, why do you like to break things down? This is how the Bible says people will leave milk. They will leave milk because it was precept upon precept. precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, a little, are you with me? So now, you may be here, hearing my voice, and you don't get the point. Just listen. Are you with me? Just be listening. After a while, it will begin to make sense. The dots will begin to connect. Here a little, there a little. Okay, okay. Line upon line. Okay, okay. It's making sense now. Are you with me? See, let me ask you a question. If you have been through secondary school here, you understand what I'm saying. I discovered that I began to understand, has this thing happened to you before? Where you began to understand what you learned in the previous class when you got to the new class. If you haven't, let me see your hand. I started understanding GS1 work when I was in GS2. Sometimes in GS3. It was like Rema. For a long time, I did not know why minus times minus was plus. Why? Some of you are, hey, let me not find trouble. For a long time, I'll be looking in class. They'll say minus, bracket, minus, then plus to come out. From where now? How? Why? It's supposed to be double minus now. It was one day in GS3. They were doing it and I don't know when I said, okay, if it's minus minus, the minus cancels the other minus, then it becomes plus. Oh, early time I see minus minus, I will fail. You know what happened there? It was development of knowledge. In the same way spiritually, you must develop. That's why even if you came for a program like this and you seem like you don't understand anything, you must pay attention. Keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening. After a while, the first layer of your spirit will break open. Now you can now begin to say, I perceive, I sense this is what God is saying. You know why? Your spirit man is responding. But some believers, they don't even. You will see a believer, he will have a dream. A dream that have obvious meaning. When he's saying it, you're like, this is what it means now. He's like, how? There's a certain young man. Okay, he's not in service today. He ought to be here. He came to this church. Remember that time I just moved to Abuja and I came? He was in service. So I asked him, he was a first timer. I asked him, how did you come to the church? He said, Pastor David, I came because I have been seeing you in my dream. I said, really? He said, every single night, you come to the dream and say, come to church. Come to church. And I'm used to hearing that. Are you with me? I didn't call myself now. The heavens called me. So he would testify to other people that God called me, right? He said, come to church. So I came to church. And after I came to church, you told us to pray in tongues. As I wanted to pray in tongues, I heard a voice from heaven. He said, I was sitting down here. And I heard a voice say, you are a change agent. I went home that night. Anytime I want to pray, I will hear that voice again. I'm a change agent. You are a change agent. He said, now, what does change agent mean? I said, God wants to use you. He said, how does God want to use me? I said, oh man, this day one is long ago. Where will I start the explanation from? I said, God wants to use you and do mighty things. How is the mighty things? I said, you know, I said, you know what? Come to church. Just come behind the word of God. Let's line upon line. Precept upon precept. Are you with me? Here a little, there a little. Are you with me? I will not call his name. One of my protocol. My wife was sharing his testimony with me. He was doing a specific line of business. Listen, oh, he was doing a type of business. After a while, he said, let me leave this business. He was into cloth business. He said, let me leave this business. Let me go and do another thing. He discovered that every other thing he was trying to do was, it will start to not work well. After a while, on his own, he was in service. He just had a feeling, go back to your cloth business. You know when you are trying to think about something, it's a different thing from when it dawns on you. So he did not tell anybody. He just had it in his mind. 2 days after, somebody met him. He said, are you still doing that cloth business? He now began to connect that. Wait, oh, I didn't tell this person about what I felt. Why is this person coming to tell me? You see, that ability to connect those things is because his spirit man has been sharpened. He may not know. Are you with me? Another 2 days, somebody met him again. Where is that your business? He said, wait, oh, it's like God is trying to tell me something. Guess what? He started a business. The first batch, all the clothes were sold out. Take another batch. He said, oh, now I see. I pray for you. Something will happen to you in this meeting. You know, as I grow in the Christian faith, as I grow in my walk with God, Jesus Christ, see the time. As I grow in my understanding of things, I begin to understand many things. For instance, for a long time, I used to ask myself, what is wrong with taking alcohol? Now, I don't drink alcohol. Are you with me? But there was a time I was asking myself, is it really a sin? Is it really something that, is there really a problem with it? It's not just drink. It's not the same way you take water, put it inside, drink. Can someone just take something, put bitters inside? Yo-yo bitters. Until one day. Now, I had not shared it with anybody. One day I was studying the Bible and I discovered that anybody, so this is what I noticed. In the Old Testament, how many of you know Samson in the Old Testament? Samson in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible says Samson was full of the Spirit from his mother's womb, right? God did it specially for Samson because God wanted to use him specially, right? In the New Testament, another person who was also filled with the Spirit from the mother's womb was who? John the Baptist. Those two people, angels from God came and specifically told them they must not take strong drink, both the mother and the child. Even if you like, argue from now till tomorrow. What is it about strong drink that the angel came and told them specifically? Now, I began to think about it like, this is something to take serious. Then I was discussing with the senior man of God in this country. Then he brought us some research papers. They said, every man of God in the last 100 years that fell into immorality started drinking first. Every man in the last 100 years in the Christian faith, every man of God that fell into immorality first, they were drinking before they fell. So it was as though the drinking did something to their body to respond faster. Hey, Jesus. So when the Bible is saying, don't do something, it was when they were explaining it to me, as I was looking at the result of that research, my eyes like, hey, I remembered, if you read about A. A. Allen, before A. Allen left the ministry, he started drinking. See, the day a person begins to swerve into drinking, something will happen to you. It's as though God knows that strong drink can destroy the power of your will. So small temptation, something that you would have been able to stand your ground, you would just fall. God knows why he's making it up, God is plenty things. So after me, line upon line. Printed upon precept. I noticed also that people who struggle to respond in church, many of them are addict listeners to secular music. Who have noticed what I'm saying? Now, when we say secular music, there are different types. A, B, C, D, E, F, G is secular music. Are you with me? It is secular music too. It's not Jesus music. But when I say secular music, I'm talking about worldly music. I think that's a better word to put it. I discovered that people who are deep into worldly music, when they are in church, they find it very difficult. It's as though sound has a way of controlling your will again. All of this things I'm saying is the result of line upon line, precept upon precept. So as the word of God is being imparted to your mind, to your heart, your eyes are being opened. See, let me tell you something. You can be in the wrong direction in your life and you will not know. But as the teaching is going on, you'll be like, hey, what have I been doing? This is why the place you attend as church matters most. It matters a lot. Let me tell you, the Bible, Jesus said, the blind should not lead the blind. If the pastor is blind, and playing politics in church, the people will be blind. They will be blind. So that me, I'm blessed. The Lord said I should tell somebody, you have been asking yourself, why is my own like this? Why does it seem like my own delays too much? The Lord says, this year is your answer. This year your change has come. In the name of Jesus. He will rewrite your mind about it. He will change your opinion about your life.